Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traynor here with you. Happy to be with you on this, a Twitter Tuesday. And before we get into your questions, of which there are very many, and I do appreciate the questions that were submitted, first, a little Giants news. And I think actually this news is probably going to answer a number of questions that were in the mailbag. So hopefully I cover that thoroughly enough for you. But yesterday during his news conference, Giants head coach Pat Shurmur swung open the door for a possible change at quarterback, basically not committing to Eli Manning as the week three starter for the team against the Bucs, saying that, you know, they were going to take a look at everything, quarterback included. And no telling what they're going to decide there. Certainly, you have multiple camps, some of whom feel that it's time for the Giants to make a change, some of whom feel that, you know, the problems are not necessarily all Eli Manning's fault. And they're not. You know, you got to look at the defense, too. The defense hasn't played very well. But the Giants are considering that change as they look at every aspect of the football club. And, you know, it's going to be an interesting thing to check out because, you know, originally the plan was believed that they were going to stick with Eli Manning for as long as they are in the playoff hunt. And even though they're 0-2 right now, they are still in a playoff hunt. They have not been eliminated. But let's face it, guys, they're still several players away from being a playoff team. I think at this point, the defense just hasn't gelled. They've had all kinds of problems there. And I know a lot of you sent in questions about the defense, which I will include in the mailbag in the next couple of segments. But you know, as far as Eli Manning is concerned, I don't know, guys. I don't know how to call this. I think it's too soon to say. I've talked to several people about it. They're split as to whether or not Shurmur will actually make the change. So I really can't give you any inclination how I'm feeling at this stage as I record this podcast, which is a Monday night. I may have a better idea as to where they're going late tomorrow afternoon, being Tuesday afternoon, as you're hearing this podcast. And if I do, I certainly will try and get an update out to you via the Maven. So what I would suggest in the interim is I put a story up on the Maven, basically the pros and cons of the Giants making that switch, if they were indeed to make the switch. So you can find that on mavensports.io/NYGiants under the news section. It's titled The Pros and Cons of Making a Switch from Eli Manning to Daniel Jones. And those of you who have read me and follow me, you know that I'm a longtime Eli Manning supporter, but looking at things objectively and just trying to get a sense of, you know, is now a good time to make the switch to Daniel Jones? I really couldn't find a whole lot of cons against it. I mean, really the only thing that stood out to me was the fact that you can't sit here and in all good consciousness, you cannot blame Eli Manning for everything that has gone wrong with this football franchise. I know you're going to say, okay, well, he's been the constant denominator since, you know, the Giants started to slide downhill. And that's true. But you also have to look at the other external factors. You know, he's had different coaches. He hasn't had the most ideal personnel. But with all that said, Eli is now at a point now where unfortunately he is a victim of the talent around him. So in other words, whereas in the past where it used to be, as Eli went, so did the offense. Now it's pretty much as the offense goes, so does Eli. And that's where you have to kind of take a look, detach yourself emotionally from the situation, and be objective in deciding what is best for the future of the franchise. Do you go with Daniel Jones and have confidence that the offensive line, which has played well, by the way, can protect the kid and give him an opportunity to continue his on-the-job training? You know, and then the other thing you have to consider from the negative standpoint is how does the presence of Eli on the bench affect things? You know, is Eli's presence going to be a distraction if they do go to Jones? And, you know, I know a lot of people said, well, you know, maybe the Giants try and trade him to Pittsburgh or to the Saints or, you know, insert team name here. Eli has a no trade clause in his contract that he would have to waive for a team to trade him. And they would have to have the salary cap space to accommodate his contract, which is, I think it would be a 17.5 million hit, because the signing bonus would be absorbed by the Giants. So really, I would be surprised if Eli is traded, if he is indeed benched. I think they keep him around to continue mentoring Daniel Jones, much like the Giants did with Kurt Warner when Eli was a rookie. But again, we're getting ahead of ourselves, still a long way off. We will find out on Wednesday. Head coach Pat Shurmur said, you know, the decision will be made by then. And we'll see if this was all much ado about nothing or if we have, you know, a major story to cover on Wednesday. So stay tuned for that, for that update, which will be tomorrow. Just a couple of quick other notes. The Giants waived running back Paul Perkins yesterday. Perkins had been inactive for the first two games. He is a former fifth round draft pick, another of Jerry Reese's former draft picks, who is now no longer with the team. They're dropping like crazy. And the Giants picked up a tight end off waivers, Caden Smith from the 49ers. So as I bring you this podcast, the Giants now have five tight ends on the roster. They are not going to go into Sunday's game with five tight ends. I would be very surprised if that is the case. My guess is that Garrett Dickerson, who has not been able to play since, I want to say, the second preseason game with a quad injury, my guess is something's going to be done there, whether he's waived injured or, you know, put on IR or whatever. I think he has to be waived injured first. And if no one claims him, he can go to IR, and then we'll see if they give him an injury settlement. But that would be my guess as to what the next transaction is going to be. I know there was a question about that as well in the mailbag. If I see the Giants making any more transactions this week. I do think the Giants will sign another guy once that transaction goes through. I don't know who yet, but as I bring you this podcast, the Giants were supposed to have another workout with a group of free agents. So we will see if they bring in another guy. Maybe they bring in another receiver. You know, Darius Slayton is getting healthy again. But I think he's still at least another week away. Sterling Shepard is progressing in the protocol. We'll see what he does on Wednesday, if he's able to practice and how much. I think he's going to practice, but on a non-contact basis. Cody Latimer is in the concussion protocol. So if the Giants do add another roster spot or another player to the roster, my guess is it could be a receiver, because those receivers are really banged up. And I think that would probably make the most sense. Could also be another running back. We don't know. I mean, right now, you know, with Perkins gone, the Giants just have Saquon Barkley. They have Wayne Gallman, and then they have fullback Elijah Penny, who could also be a halfback. So the Giants may add another guy, but I think receiver is going to be the way they go. So we'll see who they add. All right, Giant fans, you're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina. When we come back after the break, we are on to your questions for Twitter Tuesday, so do stay with us. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or would you keep on walking? Well, of course you'd take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? Well, if you want to start putting money in your pocket, check out MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as whom you're betting on. And when you bet with MyBookie, the options are endless. For example, did you know that MyBookie allows you to bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. Or if you're the kind of person that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. No matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year. And when you join MyBookie now and use the promo code LOCKEDON, MyBookie will double your first deposit. So go on and visit MyBookie.ag. And don't forget, Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the special offer for new users. MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina with you. It is time for Twitter Tuesday, and we're going to spend the next two segments answering your questions. We're going to kick it off with I'd Bleed Navy Blue, who wants to know if there's any interest in Jalen Ramsey. No. Just because you see a report saying that a guy has requested a trade doesn't necessarily mean that the team has agreed to trade him. So, you know, big time false start there. I don't think that's a topic for discussion just yet. And even if it is, I mean, Jalen Ramsey isn't going to come cheap. I don't see the Giants trading for him. They are not one player away from making a run at this point. So NH Giants, I haven't heard much about Peppers and Bethea. How have they looked so far, and how much has Landon Collins missed? NH Giants, if you are an InsideFootball.com subscriber, you will know that we wrote about Bethea and Peppers and our concerns with the two of them. You know, hey, if you saw the game yesterday, and I'm sure a lot of you guys did, not a very good showing by the safeties. In fact, the safeties, you know, even if you follow the game's coverage, they haven't really made a game-defining play as of yet. So they have a little bit more work to do, considering that that was supposed to be a strength of the team. But they still have some work to do, and hopefully they turn it around. But now, as far as missing Landon Collins, I think it's too soon to say that for sure. But if they don't turn it around, I could see that being the case. All right, next question comes from My Perfect Right. Are the issues with the team coaching or more with personnel at this point? I think it's a combination of the two. Some of the play calling on both sides of the ball has just been absolutely a head scratcher. But with that said, some of the execution, from the route running to decision making, to guys not getting off blocks, to guys taking too deep of a cushion, bad angles, that's all execution. So I think it's just been a combination of the two. I don't know that you can necessarily point to one or the other. Next question is from Big Mush 75. Why are they making Baker play off the ball? And also, why are Love and Ballantyne sitting? And I don't know, you know, I don't know actually if they make Baker play off the ball or if that's his decision. I'm going back years now, because I remember asking a cornerback that question, and for some reason, I remember him saying that it was a combination of him, you know, deciding how far back he was going to play versus how far the particular alignment called for. I would think with a rookie, they would probably give him some autonomy in deciding. But quite frankly, it's surprising to me, because Baker, coming out of school, was not known for having elite speed for a cornerback. However, you know, he also didn't let very many guys run past him. What I would like to see with Baker is to see him play more press coverage. I think that is his strength. And for whatever the reason, he's just not been asked to do that. And when he has been asked to do it, he's looked tentative. So I think the combination of missing some of his preseason has affected his confidence, and hopefully he can pull it together, because I do think the kid has talent. Next question comes from Invisible Bully Zero. With the defense playing bad these first 2 weeks, at what point does Betcher just simplify the scheme so that guys, especially the rookies, can just play faster? That's a good question. I would think soon, if that is the case. But you also have to remember, Betcher lobbied for, and or at least was believed to lobby for, former Cardinals with the idea that those guys were going to help these younger guys get acclimated. And that hasn't happened. So at some point, you would think that they would simplify the playbook. So we'll see if they do that. I think, you know, sooner than later, if they continue to have problems, they would have to do that. So, all right, next question. M. Lennon 1. Who should the Giants look to on defense that gives that side of the ball juice? Also, should I be excited for Slayton? I'm assuming you mean Darius Slayton. When he gets back on the field, if he's healthy, yeah, I think he's going to give the Giants a missing deep threat. So definitely somebody to be excited for. Regarding who the Giants should look for on defense to give that side of the ball juice, I don't know yet. There's really been no one who stepped up and kind of made it his own. I know there's been a lot of chest thumping, a lot of swag, if you will, on the defense, but you got to back it up with play. And I just don't see that just yet. So I can't really say that, you know, this is an Ogletree defense or a Peppers defense or a Carter defense. I need to see this defense develop an identity before I can really answer that question. So a little too soon. Christopher, 5633-528. If we have a draft pick within the first three picks, which way do you think Gettleman will go? Too soon to talk draft. We don't know where they're going to draft. And also, we've got to see how free agency goes. Hold that question until January of next year, maybe even February, when we can see, you know, how things shape up. It's just way too soon for that. Joe, 6776910-3. So till this year, for the last six seasons, the Giants had a bad O-line, blame Eli. Last season and so far, bad D, blame Eli. Same with bad offensive play calling, blame Eli. Starting receivers hurt or suspended, blame Eli. Bad personnel overall, blame Eli. Get it? Yeah, I see where you're going. But you know what? You can't not blame Eli for some of the problems that they've had. Eli will be the first to tell you that he could play better. But you're right, you know, the personnel has been kind of questionable of late, the last several years. So I definitely see where you're going with that. But, you know, Eli, like I said earlier, he's at a point now where unfortunately he's just not able to raise the level of play around him. And I know, you know, the guys on the other end have to do their part, but I don't know, man. I love Eli to death. I appreciate all he's done for the franchise. I mean, some of their best years were under his leadership, but sometimes you just got to move on. And I don't know if the Giants will do that this week or when that's coming, but it's going to be a sad day when it happens. And like I said, when they moved on from Phil Sims, the Giant fans are going to miss Eli Manning when he's gone. I really believe that. So, all right. Next one comes from Carm Joe Jewel Dad. After seeing scripted plays run so well, do you think Eli allows the defense to dictate to him an audible instead of just sticking with the original play? I do think Eli changes what the play is based on what he is seeing. He has that autonomy to do that. Look, the idea is to get the offense into the best possible scenario to be successful. And if he has to change a play up from the script, so be it. I mean, you know, you can't blame him for that, I don't think. So, all right, next question. It comes from King Coffee Man. What little confidence I had in this regime is going quickly. Shermer is not cut out to be a winning head coach. I don't see it. Is this growing pains or a sign of something more ominous? And that also includes James Betcher. I think it is... I don't think it's a sign of something more ominous. I think it's growing pains. I mean, you've got to remember something. This is only the second year of this Giants regime under Dave Gettleman and Pat Shermer. Pat Shermer is going to get at least three seasons to turn this around. I fully believe that. Now, with James Betcher, and I know there's a question on this down the line, so I'm going to address this question actually now. I think if the Giants defense doesn't turn around, and it continues to play the way it has, I could see Betcher being on the hot seat. But Shermer, I definitely think he's going to get another year because, look, they want Daniel Jones to get through a full year. They're not going to go and change the head coach on this kid, not after all the investment they made on him. So that's why I think Pat Shermer is going to stick around at least one more year, regardless of what happens this year. You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina. This is a Twitter Tuesday. We're going to take our final break, come back, and then we're going to finish up answering the rest of your questions. Do stay with us. Hey, Giant fans. If you're looking for tickets to the games or perhaps to the hottest concerts, Broadway plays, or other area events, check out Vivid Seats. Download their easy-to-use app from the Google Play or iTunes App Store. And when you set up your account, you'll be automatically enrolled in Vivid Seats' customer loyalty program, which offers credit back on all purchases made through the app. With Vivid Seats, you'll get great prices and an easy purchasing experience right from your smartphone or tablet, with all confirmed orders backed by a full guarantee. Also, for a limited time, save up to $100 off your first Vivid Seats purchase when you enter the code KICKOFF at checkout. Don't be left on the sideline. Download the Vivid Seats app today and get into the game. And don't forget, use the special code KICKOFF at checkout to save up to $100 off your first Vivid Seats purchase. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina here with you. It is a Twitter Tuesday, and we're going to finish up by answering the rest of the questions that came in. Remember, if you have a question for me, you can send them to Locked On Giants podcast at gmail.com. And if you're going to send them to me on Twitter, please tag them Ask P Train. That's the only way I'm going to see them. If you bury them underneath a post of mine, I'm not going to see them because I do get a lot of mentions. And unless I'm just sitting there and going through all of them, which unfortunately I don't have the time to do every day. I mean, I try to, but please make sure you're using that Ask P Train tag so that I see your questions. I do want to get them all answered if you bother to take the time to write. All right, continuing onward with the questions for this week. Let's see, Black Banjo Tony says, I know you don't like to personalize, but do we face a coaching issue more than a personnel issue or just growing pains with a new bunch? I think it's a combination of two things, Tony. I do think it's young personnel on the defensive side of the ball. But also I think coaching does play a certain degree to it. Especially on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, the offense, some of the play calling, I made it very clear, I think, in my writings, I've been scratching my head over some of the calls and decisions that have been made by this regime this year. So I really think it's a combination. And you know, you'd have to be a little bit more specific as to what you're talking about, because it's not fair to really say for sure that it's definitely one or the other. But it has been a bit of a head scratcher, I think. Next question comes from RMW_2121. We've been blaming the O-line, the running game, and the receivers, but Eli hasn't been leading the teams to win and is not being the reason they, let's see. All right. Basically, summarizing the question is, at this point, we got to see Daniel Jones, right? Not necessarily. I mean, look, I get where you're going. Eli's been the constant denominator, like I've said before. I understand that, but I think you have to really sit down and look at it objectively. And one of the things I'm planning to do, I'm planning to write an article today. As I record this, again, it's Monday night, so I haven't started this article, but I have an outline and I kind of know what I'm going to do with it. You got to look at the numbers. You got to look at the film and just kind of, you've got to detach yourself emotionally from making this decision and just say, look, you know, you can't say he's a great, you know, player, that he's had a great run. It's a results-oriented business, and the results just have not been there lately. And I think you have to take that into consideration, to be honest with you. Next question comes from Empire PR Man. When do you think Julian Love will get more playing time? Also, does it make sense to wait for Daniel Jones to start until week 5 when Tate and hopefully Sterling Shepard will be back? Okay, let's take the first question about Julian Love. I don't know. That's a head scratcher to me, especially given the play at the safeties. I would have thought by now Julian Love would get more snaps, but apparently the coaches are seeing something in practice and behind the scenes that the rest of us aren't seeing. And I know Ed Valentine and I talked about this on the podcast yesterday about how sometimes, you know, that coaches see stuff that we in the media and the fans don't see because they have a lot more information. So I really don't know what's going on with Julian Love, but I don't know. I hope they play him soon, and whatever it is that's keeping him off the field, I hope they work through it. Regarding when to start Daniel Jones, I want to say, isn't week five when they play the Patriots? No, they play the Vikings, maybe. I know they have a tough game week five. I can't remember if it's the Patriots or the Vikings. So I don't know. I don't know if there is a good time to start the kid. I think you just have to wait until he's ready, until, you know, the chips fall into place. So I wouldn't necessarily, you know, say do it this time, this week or next week or the week after that. But yeah, you do make a good point about, you know, having Golden Tate back. I think he would certainly help a young quarterback, but I don't know if the Giants are going to wait that long, to be honest with you. So we'll see. Faro_Joey asks, is it me or does it seem like Betcher and Shermer are outsmarting themselves instead of playing guys to their strength and leaning on them? Yeah, at times I agree with you. I think at times they get a little too cute with their play calling, but, you know, that's why they get paid the big bucks. I mean, I could sit here and you can sit here and we can question and criticize all we want, but it's not going to change anything, unfortunately. It's got to come from within and someone whose pay grade is a lot higher than ours. Next question comes from A. Garrison 22. I have read several articles about how Ogletree is below average on defense metrics at inside linebacker, but the article said he's above average in coverage and pass rushing. Should the defense think of moving him outside and run Davis and Connolly inside? I think all you need to know to answer that question is Tay Davis didn't get a single defensive snap this week. So I think that speaks volumes about, you know, that particular avenue. As far as, you know, moving Ogletree to the outside, I don't know that he, I'm just trying to think now what his size is. Let me just take a look at my roster real quick. I don't know if he has the prototypical size, 6'3", 250. And let's see, Carter. Yeah, I guess he would have the size, I guess, for a 4'3 outside linebacker. But you also have to remember that sometimes they bring those guys down as defensive ends and when they go to like a 4'3". So I don't know that, you know, Ogletree would be a good fit for that role. But, you know, it's certainly an interesting question. I don't know if they've ever thought of that. But, yeah, I can see your logic there. So, all right, Texas Wine Lover. I thought a few years ago they did big improvements into helmets to reduce concussions. It seems like everyone is getting one. Why are they still happening? And what exactly is the concussion protocol? Look, I mean, I don't care. I mean, short of wrapping your head solidly in a concrete block, if you suffer any kind of trauma, you're going to get a concussion. I mean, that's just the way it goes. If you get whiplash, I remember one year in a car accident when I was just maybe 21 years old, I remember getting whiplash and suffering a concussion. If the brain gets jerked forward violently against the skull and then jerked back, guess what? You got a concussion. And there are different degrees of that. So as far as the protocol goes, usually what they do is they take a baseline test at the start of every preseason, I believe, every training camp. Then what they do is, if a player is suspected of having a concussion, he obviously gets tests, I think MRIs and possibly CAT scans of the head, and it's measured up against the baseline that they took. And then there's stages. So depending on the degree of the concussion, I think they're categorized as degrees 1, 2, 3 and so forth. Then that determines what level of treatment they get. So is the guy experienced nausea? Is he sensitive to light? You know, and they just take him through different stages of the recovery. And as he progresses through the stages, you know, then they gradually move him up from not being able to practice to non-contact, and then from non-contact to contact. So just different stages. I know I'm missing a few in there, but that's the general gist of the concussion protocol, as I recall it being. So thanks for that question. All right, next question comes from Mr. Coach Clean, who wants to know, why did the Giants think so highly of James Betcher in the 3-4 defense, and do you think they move on from Evan Engram? I don't know why you would ask that question about Evan Engram. I mean, come on, man. He's like a central part of that offense. Why would you even suggest that? I mean, what am I missing there? as far as why they think so highly of James Betcher and his 3-4 defense, I mean, I think the 3-4 defense, more and more teams are going to that 3-4 defense. But you got to remember something. Teams play a lot of nickels, so they're in the 4-3 anyway. And I just think the 3-4 just gives a little bit more flexibility with how you play guys, and it requires a whole different set of personnel. So I don't hate the decision to go to a 3-4. Now, with James Betcher, I am optimistic, and I was when he was hired. With that said, what I was kind of surprised with is that he came in and, you know, I understand he's trying to replicate what he did in Arizona, but I just, it's not the same players. It's not the same personnel. So I just don't see how you're going to replicate that. That's doesn't make sense to me. But all right, next question comes from Joe67769103. Do you think it's time for Gettleman to be the boss and tell Shermer to hand over the play calling duties to Shula now, or wait for a few more losses? I don't think it's going to happen now, if it happens at all. You got to remember, again, like I said before, they've got a lot invested in Daniel Jones. I just don't see anything happening with Shermer's status this year or next year. They're going to have to take their lumps. Look, I think they realize deep down that maybe they're several players away from a Super Bowl run. So they just got to kind of let it all play out, you know? So, all right, a couple questions remaining via email. John G says, why have the Giants given Valentine and Love some snaps on defense? John, as I said before, I don't know. I'm not sure what the why Julian Love hasn't gotten some snaps on defense. With Corey Valentine, you know, Ed Valentine on the show yesterday, the podcast yesterday, I don't know if you heard it or not, made a real interesting point, and I'll just reiterate it here. He said right now Valentine has a lot on his plate between, you know, the tragedy that cost him his friend Dwayne Simmons, just having to go back and testify against the accused shooter. You know, that's something that you just don't turn off. I mean, that's a traumatic event. So I think Corey Valentine has been handling the situation as best as he can, but you can't tell me that he's going to, you know, turn it off and forget about it that easily. And I just wonder if perhaps the Giants, in just being patient with this young man, are taking that into consideration and allowing him to grieve, allowing him to take care of whatever business he has back home. And just, you know, in time, they say time heals all wounds. I know Valentine is probably never going to forget that night, never going to forget his friends, but, you know, it's still a raw situation. It hasn't even been 6 months, and I can't imagine, you know, the struggles that young man is going through. So I think we need to cut Valentine a little bit of a slack there and maybe factor that into consideration. So next question, the last question actually comes from Tyler J. I understand the next man up mentality, but when you lose your top four receivers, how hard is it to make the big plays to win games? It all depends on how you scheme it, and it all depends on if the guys that are in there are doing what they're supposed to. I mean, theoretically, it shouldn't be hard, but you know what? There's a reason why guys are backups, and there's a reason why guys are starters. So I see your point, Tyler. Hopefully, once Tate comes back and Shep comes back, the Giants get back to, you know, and once they get Darius Slayton on the field, who can be that deep threat, hopefully they can start producing. So we'll see how that works out. All right, Giant fans, that should do it for all your questions. I want to thank you, as always, for the great questions and for participating in Twitter Tuesday. Just a reminder, tomorrow is the crossover show. James Yarto of Locked On Bucks is going to be with me on the program. We're going to break down the Giants and Bucks week 3 matchup down in Tampa. And we'll have a lot more. Don't forget also, if we have breaking news regarding the quarterbacks, I will have a segment on that as well. So plenty more coming up on the Locked On Giants podcast. Appreciate you listening, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care.